Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Cowboy Wisdom Radio on the Be Wisdom Radio Network. And I want to welcome my guest tonight, Leticia Dominguez. She's with Awaken Your Potential, and she's also very astute in the way she does it, and she has her own way of doing it that will expand your life. And without any further ado, I want to welcome Leticia to the show. Welcome, Leticia.
Thank you, Rob. How are you this evening?
I'm always excellent when I do my radio shows because I like the interaction I have with the guests, and especially with guests that awaken and enliven people's lives, because it's going to take some enlivening to bring this world back to a quality of life that we've enjoyed. And with Awakening Your Potential, you are one of the people that is doing that. And the thing I really want to say about Cowboy Wisdom Radio is I want to put people in front of people that allow them to see a different way to expand their life. And you're one of the fine people that really does expand people's lives. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome.
And Awakening Your Potential, how are people really afraid of their own potential, Leticia?
Many different ways. Most of the time, in order to awaken, in order to expand, you have to come out of your comfort zone. And that's the reason it's called a comfort zone, is because it is comfortable. So the biggest fear is I have to step out and I have to try something new. I have to do something different.
And when they say the words, I have to, doesn't that send a trepidation rather than saying I choose to?
Well, that's true. And in order to awaken your potential or to awaken at all, you must make the choice to move forward, or in some instances, it's even to just move sideways, to move out, to expand or extend your current way of thinking, number one, about yourself, and then expand your perspective to see a bigger picture.
And you know, when he was talking about the complacency, isn't that what the job mentality and what we've been taught has taught us, to be complacent and wait for somebody else to do the innovation rather than us opening out our own innovation?
Yes, it is. We are taught to, from a small child on, we are basically taught that we should follow the crowd. Not necessarily lead the crowd, but we are taught that there are certain expectations, and that is the way that we should behave. Those are the choices that we should make. But we don't, a lot of times, even as adults, stop and say, but is it a choice that I want to make? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. And we was talking about this today. Me and another guy. You know, we're so ingrained in staying within society and staying within everything we've been taught, because people really have a fear of people that do something different and have a different perspective on life. But however, it's all the different perspectives is where all the wisdom becomes a collective thing. So how do you get your clients to see their individual wisdom is actually what the universe is looking for expansion?
Well, for them to actually see their individual expansion, one of the first things they have to see is basically who they are. They have to be able to look at themselves and say, okay, I am not so-and-so's wife or so-and-so's husband. I am not my profession. I am an actual individual with my own individual thoughts, my own individual likes. So in that perspective, what we do is start with taking a look at our individuality. And each person that's here on this planet has their own set of unique talents, gifts. And a lot of times we don't even know what they are, especially as a young adult, because we've never had the opportunity to actually choose to be who we want to be.
And how is, we've always had, when you know, whenever you was a child and people have these innovative ideas when they're young, and the parents and people just unconsciously say, well, that's a silly idea or a stupid idea. How does that take away and really dummy down the innovation in a lot of people and really took their individuality away from them?
Well, it takes it in many ways. And I'll give you an example. I'll use myself. I have for many years just loved to write rhymes. Some people call it poetry. I call it rhymes. And, of course, growing up, all you heard is, well, that's cute, but you shouldn't be working on that because that's not going to make you money in the future. You know, I've heard the comments of, well, you'll have your poems published or there'll be a book published, and you can make money, but you have to be dead first. So we get implanted from the past generations into our brains that what we love, what we like to do is not productive. So we're taught at a young age that our imagination is great, but you can't use your imagination in the future. You need to get down and you need to work and you need to do what society says we need to do.
So you have to, you know, imagination. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yet it's the imagination of the inventors got us where we're at today.
Correct. Correct. I mean, somebody, you know, look at the telephone, the lights, every single thing we have, all the way to the computers that we are on now. Someone had the imagination that it really is a possibility. And that's just it. I believe that everything has a possibility. Now, whether you're willing to work to get that possibility brought to life, that's a totally different story.
You know, the possibilities come to life when you're willing to expand the way and to experience a better way and always looking to expand it and be more innovative and by listening to outside sources that have, you know, that just walk by and give a compliment or say something rather than ask people that are gurus. Do you feel that?
I do. I do. But you also have to understand, Rob, that in our society, a lot of times it's easier just to ask somebody. Why use your imagination? Why expand your knowledge? Why really dig in if, you know, you can just turn around and say, so what do you think? And then go with what they think. You're not, you know, we as humans only use a really teeny tiny portion of our abilities and our brains. And the funny thing is the more technology, the more information we have out there, the less we actually stop and think for ourselves.
You just hit Ralph as a grand slam. You hit three of them in one. We can't get it from the computer to the physical world no more. But you said something earlier about your poetry.
Uh-huh.
And me and Tom C, we started a publishing company called Be Wisdom Publishing along with Be Wisdom Radio. But here's something, I love it when people bring up poetry or books or songs. How is poetry and books and audio books, videos, songs actually going to be the new way to it's actually going to be a new economy for the world, because the industrial military complex and the industrial complex is being featured right in front of our eyes right now. It's starting where the most male energy is, and that's in the Middle East. And how do you feel that is all being featured? But poetry and stuff is going to get back to being adored, because you can make a video to go with your poetry.
That's a great idea. I hadn't even thought of that. But I believe that we're coming to a point, you know, which reminds me, we're coming to a point somewhere in the future that we're going to have to do something besides watch the news and have all the negativity fed at us. And I truly believe that poetry and song, you know, and videos are going to come much more to life as entertainment. Because have you even noticed the movies out now? Everything you see out there, not everything, but a lot of things you see out there, the context of it is violence. It is, you know, it's the economy. And when you put all that together, where's the inspiration going to come from for the future?
You know,
I think it's going to come.
Keep going.
I was going to say, I think it's going to come from the new, you know, I have a blog, New Day, New Hope, New Song. And I think that's what we need. We're going to have to find new hope and a new way to express our desires, our hopes, and the way that we're going to end up doing that is through, and I honestly believe through the music, through, some people call it poetry, like I said, I call it rhyme, through inspiration that we see and that we receive from those around us.
But it's also the rhyme of inspiration we have inside us.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And you know, would you rather write poetry or live in a rhyme of life?
Well, I would love, and I do live in a rhyme of life, which I think is where the poetry comes from. Poetry, writing, there's fiction, but the poetry and the writing and songs, which is poetry to music, they actually come from within. They come from your heart. And when you read even the older poets, you've got Rumi out there and you've got Emerson. Everything that they wrote, everything that's been passed down, it came from their feelings and from their heart. So it is within each of us. How we express that inspiration may be different, but we all do have or are inspired by a spirit, a soul that is within this human form.
Yeah, see, now, the rhyme of life, that just sounds like there's excitement ready to happen. But when you say that word, rhyme of life, feel the front of you. Doesn't that open up all your chakras when you say that? And make your eyes go forward.
Yes, it does.
See, Leticia, that's what the world is really looking for. It's just something that will open up that confused curiosity within ourselves to expand our life. The world is not really in a recession. We're confused on how to expand out of it.
That's true.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and until we can take off the blinders and see the bigger perspective, see the bigger picture, we will stay in a recession. We will regress within ourselves at that until we can take a look and say, you know, there's more to this life than what's right here in front of my face. I mean, we can look outside. It's spring. You can look at the flowers. You can look at the trees in bloom and the beauty that they have. As long as you can get past the, oh, my gosh, I'm in debt. Oh, my gosh, we've got bills to pay. You have to put them aside, Rob, you know, kind of put it to the side and say, okay, I need to stop today and just give thanks for the beauty that's around me. You know, and there's beauty around us no matter where we are. All we have to do is just look up.
You know, that is true. Look up, just look all over. It's all there. But, you know, to me, the pessimism and the skepticism and all the cynicism of the world is just God's way, God and the universe's way to allow people to expand, to have a brighter light to overcome that darkness. And I think that's what they set this up. This has actually been happening. This, where we're at today, started as soon as we built the first military industrial complex factory.
Yeah.
I feel, Leticia.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
You know, when this country was about innovation and expanding and about people, this country was vibrant. So ever since we've went towards a corporate military complex mindset, this country has actually shrunken in its innovative abilities, I feel. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that I feel like you do on that. I believe that, and in my opinion, we've lost faith. There, you know, a lot have lost faith. And an example of that is, as I was talking to a young lady, and she said, well, I have faith, but I have to see it to believe it. Well, if you see it, then you don't need faith. We've lost some crucial pieces of ourselves by letting society tell us who to be and who not to be. And faith is one of them.
Faith and trusting in our abilities to live our own life, because we always got a computer, a telephone, or something to rely on to call for help. See, that's what I think really made this country vibrant when it was vast and unpopulated. People had to really rely on themselves to expand out of things.
Right. Right. And now the society relies on, you know, we've got those that rely on the government. We've got those that rely on employment. We've got those that rely on the past. But when we rely on everyone except for ourselves, don't you feel that we've given up a piece of our individuality? Don't you feel like we've just taken a piece of ourselves and just set it on a shelf and said, okay, that's really not, well, I'm trying to think of the word. I'm sorry, I lost my word there. But anyway, we take a piece and we set it up and say, okay, this is how society says I'm going to be. So this is what I have to be. When we can actually choose to be self-reliant, we can choose to be self-supportive. The problem with that choice is society says, oh, but you have to have X number of dollars, you need to do this, and you need to do that. So we're hearing society in one ear, and we've taken ourselves and just put it up on the shelf, and we sit back, and that's where the expansion comes in. We sit back expecting the things around us to expand instead of going within and taking our own steps to expand outward, to change our view.
You know, I don't think we just took a piece of our individuality. I think we took all but 1% of it and put it on that shelf in this country.
Yeah,
I think
you're right. We took a whole chunk, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, we have really done just what you said there. This country has. And when you start saying, like, today we had a safety meeting. I'm still working as an electrician, do all my other stuff, because cash has to flow, but it isn't my main thing. And on this job that we're on, it's just been run pretty atrociously. But here's the thing. I said, you know, the union, everybody on this job needs to write a short letter or a letter at the end of this telling the union and the contractor where the job fell down. You know, where you saw where the job got hindered, where the job was good, and where it was challenged and stuff. And they all laughed at me. And as they were laughing at me, I said, now you know why where we're at today. Because nobody wants to communicate what's going on. And nobody wants to listen.
Right. The communication, I think that we've actually forgot how to listen. It's easier to let someone else determine what we heard than to actually listen to the words. And also, don't you think that it's easier to give away our responsibility? We don't take the responsibility.
I think you just hit the nail on the head. It's easier to let somebody else have the responsibility because ever since I started on my personal expansion journey, I have really taken responsibility and raised my respect for myself. So therefore, but I also raised and really expanded the way I wanted to be in the world. And I work, when I do anything for anybody, I put myself first and then put them all in a 1, 2, 3, 4 down to 10, 20, 30, wherever the respect has to be. Because the higher the number, the more respect I give that. And so when I respect myself as number one, everything else gains in respect. But a lot of people don't respect themselves. And it's easier to be mad at the world than take respect and responsibility for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in coaching, that's one thing that, that's one of the first things we always discuss is, you're responsible for every choice you make, even if that means you didn't make the choice. Because no matter what, in every single moment, we are making the choice. We can sit and choose to let someone else take responsibility for our life. And in my world, I call that blame. And in my world, blame is lame. Or we can choose to say, okay, the choices I have made have put me where I am, and at any time I can make a U-turn and choose to go a different way. And the hard part for people with that is taking on that responsibility. It's so much easier, and it takes me back to when I was younger when, you know, you'd go have counseling, and of course, whose fault was it? It was always the mother's fault. You know, it was the mother that was to blame for whatever was happening to the child, which in some instances, yeah, that's true in some parts. But when you turn into an adult and you don't accept responsibility for your own actions and you blame the world for your existence, then that you're right. That's 99% of our life we just put up on a shelf and said, there's the chunk of me that everyone else has designed.
You know, that's absolutely true. And you know, one thing about responsibility, and when you look in the mirror and say, well, whatever's here is for me, but when you start blaming, and you use blame as lame, I use blame as lousy at managing everything. But anyway, and, you know, the blame game is so relevant and in our face. You turn on the news. I turn the news on for comedy now.
For comedy?
Well, for comedy. I mean, the blame, it's a blame, shame, game comedy. That's all the news is. It's never expanding work stuff. And here's the thing, but this is my favorite. Well, the Republicans say it's the Democrats' fault for the deficit, and the Democrats say the Republicans' fault. But if I remember right, the Republicans and Democrats have voted on every piece of legislation since I've been alive. So I'm kind of trying to figure out, when are they going to look in the mirror and say, well, we're 50%, they're 50%, now where do we go?
Right, and to take that further, who elected them into office to allow them to vote? You know, it's easy for us to say Democrats, Republicans, and to blame the government, but do we stop and say, oh, who did I vote for? Did I vote due to peer pressure? This is what everyone in my community, this is who the people in my community want me to vote for. Or have we actually stopped and taken a look at the people that we elect and put in those offices? You know, it's like somebody said, well, did you vote for da-da-da-da-da or this president or that president? It's like, well, if I did, then I guess I'm responsible for what's going on. And if I didn't, I'm still responsible for what's going on.
And see, you just hit the nail on the head. It isn't anybody's fault but the American people's fault.
That's right.
And, you know, the deficit is coming from lack of innovation. The whole country is in the shambles and the situation because of the lack of innovation and the people's willingness to engage in their own innovation. That's where this world is. Because everybody's sitting here waiting for corporate America and all the jobs to come back, but we've lowered wages so far, jobs can't come back.
Right, right. Well, you got it with the word engage. We disengage as a society.
Yeah.
We don't engage in what's going on. And a lot of times in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, we disengage, we go in our house, we shut our doors. And then the blame game starts because we didn't do anything. It wasn't our fault. We were at home. You know what I mean? So it is the engaging. So my question here, Rob, is how do we promote getting more engaged in our own lives?
That's the key. You got to engage. You got to be willing to see and really understand you are unique, but your innovation, take your poetry you call rhyme. That is unique engagement within you. And what one sentence can expand the world, like John F. Kennedy when he says, it's not what you can do for your country, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. But it isn't you can do for the community, but what can you do for yourself first to expand it. It's about you because money equals your wisdom. Everything in your life equals your wisdom, willingness, and what you're willing to engage and put forth. I call it my will of life. It's what I put forth as wisdom, innovation, love, and laughter. When I'm willing to put my will into the world's willing to put their faith and trust in me. But it's not faith, it's really trust. You got to see yourself and trust your own abilities and really quit listening to anybody that says something negative to you because they're really afraid that you're going to succeed.
Right. That's true. You know, with each of us, we try to, I think that we try to be pleasers instead of engaging ourselves into the situation. It's easier to sit back and please another than to say, wait a minute, that is not really who I am, and I need to step out of my box and become engaged in the conversation. I need to speak my mind. And that's I think that's a lot of it. I think we allow others to engage us in their thoughts instead of taking our own thoughts and engaging in the true joy of life, which the true joy of life to me is living your life, enjoying, expanding, and I love that word engage, so, and engaging in what is around you, whether that be nature, whether that be your family, your community, and each person, like I said, we each have our own gifts. But if each of us would just stop and become engaged in what we truly love from within, can you imagine how this world would be then? I just think that the peace in the world, if we did that, would just rise. You know, we would be able to be at peace. But in order to have peace outside in the world, we have to have peace within us too. Right. I was going to say, if we don't know what peace is within ourselves, then how can we expect the world to know what peace is or to have world peace?
You just hit something that a lot of people don't understand. History has no chapter on peace, bliss, or prosperity.
Right.
And see, right. That we understand war. We don't understand peace. And we don't understand listening and communication because leaders have this real egotistical arrogance. Oh, I got a bigger army, and it isn't going to hurt me when I send my troops over here, so we'll go to war.
Right. Right.
It's like the war, like what's going on in the Middle East. Most of the aren't even involved in the conflict they create.
That's correct. That's correct. And the conflict that we have absorbed throughout our lifetimes, you know, we take what has been around us, what we've seen on the media, what we've seen on the internet, and we look at it and say, oh, okay, that's the way it is. We don't stop and say, you know, one small step from me could possibly make a difference in the life next to me. If I'm at peace, then the person next to me will know what peace is.
And let's just say this. Let's just say 5% of the world population all had a positive thought at one time, which would be about 350 million people. What would the energy of this world do if 350 million people had the same positive thought or peaceful thought at the same time? What would that do to the energy of the world?
Oh, it would enlighten the energy in the world. It would spark. It would spark some flames if 5% of us did that at one time. You know, go ahead.
No, and I didn't interrupt you there, but that's the thing. We've never been taught. You said it earlier, and your website is awakenyourpotential.com.
It is, it is joyislife.com.
Okay, joyislife.com.
Right, joyislife.com.
Okay, but anyway, if people would learn to listen and communicate in the conversation without preconceived ideas, what would that do to a conversation?
Well, it would expand the conversation. It would also engage those around us. What that would do to the conversation would actually be opening up a whole new topic again, that would take someone who is able to step out of their comfort zone, who is able to know who they are, in order for that conversation to even start, don't you think?
Yes, and rather than start a conversation by who you are, I've learned to open them up with a question. It's just like, how are you tonight, and tell me about yourself. And people love to talk about themselves. You can learn more because what they're talking about a lot of times is something that is happening in your life. Do you see that, or am I off base there?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. The way that I get my clients to open up is to start asking them about themselves, their families, what they like, what they don't like. What did they think of today? You know, was it a positive day? And if they say no, then you say, okay, then what were the negative aspects? And a lot of times you'll get a good story, but when you look at the story, you can take that story and say, okay, but what if? What if this had happened? And it's amazing to me that a lot of things that we perceive immediately as negative are actually very positive moments in our life. We just haven't seen them yet. It takes more than what society tells us, you know, for us to actually open up and see beyond right where we are. Does that make sense?
Totally to me, because and then I like to ask them, how is this the same as yesterday? And how is this the same as the day before? How has this been a pattern of your life? And then they start saying, oh, wow, it is. And to me, Leticia, this happens 99.9% of the time. It goes right back to their parents or their family, you know, the family. It goes back to from the womb to 5 or 6 and right to the mom or dad. It's usually the parent they didn't get along with is the one they mimic the most without even knowing it.
Right, and you know what you just said was that 99.9% of the time we're living in the past, we're not living in the moment, because that's what we do. We look backwards. We forget to look forward. So we do. And again, it's so much easier to take that responsibility and pass it backwards and not keep that on our plate in front of us saying, oh, I actually did that. You know, but, you know, and it's in all things, especially in families. You know, well, my dad was this way and my grandfather was this way and my great-grandfather was this way, so that's just the way I've got to be. And you hear that because that's where we live. We live in the past. We forget that we should be right here, right now. What happened yesterday, it's gone, and it's not coming back. So our choice is always right here in this moment.
And what even happened at the beginning of the video show doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
Because it's all, and that's the thing. Do we have a past or just ingrained inference that we live by?
It's just influence. We all have a past, but the only way that past is going to come into the now and into the future is if we put it on our shoulders, wear it on our back, and carry it with us. And that's our choice. We don't have to choose to take it with us.
Yeah, and to me, see, I've almost come to the conclusion, and this is the way I look at it, I don't have a past. I have a present moment that activates imprints in my subliminal that are ingrained from previous experiences, and that's what people do. And when something happens, they go right into the same drama and story of it, without expanding beyond it. And not saying that it's an ingrained pattern, and that's the drama they live makes them feel good because it's comfortable, and it isn't even the way they choose to live.
Correct. Correct. But it is comfortable. It is in their comfort zone. And for some reason, we as humans really like that comfort zone. To step out of it. To step out of it has fear, you know, instead of faith.
Yeah.
So, you're right.
It comes down to looking in the mirror and trusting your own abilities to expand out of it. And that's something very few people have ever done. That is a total new thing for the whole world. But that is what's going to happen in the near future, don't you feel? Or it's happening right now, don't you feel, Leticia?
Yes, it is happening right now. And you're seeing it more and more. And we're seeing a whole lot more when you look around even, and I'm going to use society again, but when you look around, look at how many more people are stepping back, stepping out of their comfort zone, going into business for themselves. The way that home businesses has boomed in the last 10 years tells us something right there. People are starting to want and realize that there's more than what they had in the past. And that's when once we realize that our life is more than what was behind us, I think the more we will see the expansion of just the expansion of the mind as well as our world itself.
It's not only going to be the expansion of the mind, but it's going to be the expansion of the spiritual, the subliminal. But it's going to be the recoding of our DA from poverty to prosperity, to me.
Right. Yep, you're right on that.
And Leticia, when you're working with somebody, oh, I want to point out something. If you've been listening and paying attention to Leticia, you're going to understand and see that her wisdom will expand your life because she talks about her own journey. And that's something when you're looking for somebody to do personal expansion with, look for somebody that's done their own inner work, their inner, as they expanded their inner energies, then you'll be able to expand your inner energies to live a better life. I just wanted to point that out. And Leticia's website is joyouslife.com. And today you have a phone number you want to give out, Leticia?
I do. My phone number is 502-377-1266.
And that's important because, you know, if I started this radio show 2 years ago, and I have learned to listen, but I can now pick up on people who have done their inner journey, and that's how much it's expanded for me. And I like having people like Leticia on to expand your life because when people come from their heart and they talk about what they've done, they can give you shortcuts to cut through a lot of the stuff that you won't have to go through. And that's very important. And don't you feel that's really something you've really done, Leticia, is your own inner, expanded your own inner energy?
I have. I really have. I can say that I actually had a coach that helped me to stop and figure out who I was. And from that point on, I haven't stopped trying and expanding on my own abilities as well as my own uniqueness. And that does make a difference. You know, there are a lot of different types of coaches out there. There's a lot of those that call themselves coaches, and I have said many times in different networking events, but look at their experience, look at who they are. Don't you know, there's a lot out there that say, you know, I'll work with you and you'll be a millionaire. Well, I can work with someone, but I will never promise them that I can make them a millionaire unless that's truly what they want to be. So I work with the individual on their expansion of themselves, their spirituality. We work on the whole mind, body, and spirit. We don't just work on how many phone calls did you make for sales and blah, blah, blah. I like to work with those that want to be who they have wanted to be from a child at that. You know, we had dreams as children, and we put them aside because we have to have a career that supports a family when, you know, we had dreams as children. One of my dreams as a child was I told my mother many, many years ago, I was about 6 years old, that I was going to publish a book and I was going to write poetry. Well, it took me a long time to let go of what I thought society wanted me to be and go within myself and say, you know, you are unique and you can write a book. You can write poetry. You can write rhymes. And you don't have to worry about, it took a long time for me to say, and you don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks. And that's where our hang up is. What will everyone else think? And you know, it's not a short journey. It takes a while. But you can get there.
You know, what everybody else thinks starts the first day you hit kindergarten, but it's some of the first words you ever hear from your parents. Well, look at that guy. Look, you know, what do you think he thinks of you? That's an ingrained pattern in your life. And see, a lot of people understand that. And people always want to bring up what happened that you really want to desire to forget, but they can't allow that. But, you know, when they bring it up, that means they have a fear within them that you might advance further than they do in life.
That's it, you know, and, you know, I was given what I don't think it was actually said to me as a compliment not too long ago, but I had a gentleman look at me and he goes, your way of thinking is just really strange. And I did. I looked right at him. I said, thank you so much. That was probably one of the best compliments I have had in a very long time. That means that I don't think like the popularity contest, you know, and I just thought that was a great compliment. So
I think that is the greatest compliment. You know, I understand this. If they can have science and if they can put it into quantum physics and all this stuff, I'm still not thinking and I'm not expanding and enterprising big enough because they can still put it in the science realm. When I can get to having an image or a process in my life where quantum physics or nothing can put it into a system or into, then I'm thinking big enough.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I heard you say, because to get out of this extraordinary challenge we're in, it's going to take extraordinary wisdom to expand this out of it.
Yes, it will. And we're getting there. Slowly, but surely.
I think it's going more rapidly than we see because we're experiencing it every day. And when you open one person's mind or one person's life to just one little new paradigm, that person never stops expanding, and pretty soon they're touching somebody else's life. And this is really unique, but if people think it's going to happen without trepidation, and I can even see violence myself, because you ain't going to feed your that male ego with just warmth. It's going to take some standing up, I feel. And maybe I'm wrong. How do you feel about that?
No, I think you're right on. I think you're right on with that. It is. That's what it's gonna boil down to, Rob.
But there's faith in all this. That's what this is really about, hey, Leticia. It's just like what you said when that guy said your thinking is way out. Man, that is a compliment. You're worthy and deserving of that. That's the greatest compliment, because it's going to take that kind of expanding energies to expand the world, and that's really important. And if you've been listening to Leticia, you can see, if you choose to go to lifeisjoy.com or call her at 502-377-1266, you can open up to see your life expand right in front of your eyes.
Yes, you
can. That is fun to watch. And Leticia, when you first sit down with a client, do you sit down and start their agenda their way and you just facilitate it for them?
Yes, that is exactly what I do. Actually, they are they're given a form, which everyone gets the form, but they actually set the agenda for every single session that we have. And they set the agenda based on the prior week, based on what they felt were accomplishments, what they felt were disappointments, and then we discuss each one and take a look at how that is all relative towards their future success. And by success, I mean their success, the reason that they're there, their expansion, their own uniqueness.
And, you know, something that I like people to do when I do it myself is I want them to define success and wealth in their own way. Because what Webster says and society says and everybody else doesn't mean, Jack, doesn't mean anything in the situation. Define it for yourself, and that way you understand it.
Well, absolutely, because each of us have our own perspective and our own definition of what our success is. You know, I feel that I have been a successful mother. Now, others might look and say, yes, but you're still raising children. Yes, but I've already raised some, and I feel like I have been a successful mother. That's my unique perspective on it. But each person does have to, and the way I look at it is I call it, you know, a coach is nothing more than life's GPS. And what that stands for is a coach helps you set goals, helps you track the progress in order to get to your success. So goals, progress, success. I'm nothing more than a GPS programmer, programming the direction that you want to go in.
And a fissure in old patterns.
Mm-hmm. Well, the old patterns are what keep us in our comfort zone. They are actually what hold us back more than allow us to move forward.
And this, but you know, the news, they actually say things like they want us. I listened to like the news channel, the weather channel, when that tsunami was going on, or during a blizzard up north. And
mm-hmm.
they would say, don't go out in this and don't do that. I just wanted to tell them, go up there and spend a week with some of them people. They'll show you how to go through a blizzard.
That's right.
You know, they're acting like, you know, we used to get weak blizzards. I mean, when I was a kid growing up in South Dakota, we used to miss 1 week of school from one blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, what they don't understand is like the northern tier of this country, they have enough farm machinery, they can move snow. Snow is no big deal to them.
Right, right.
I mean,
yep, you're right.
You know, that's what gets me is about the people on the media. They act like we don't have nothing out here. But, you know, I really understand is they don't understand what they're talking about, or they would say something different.
Right. Get out and enjoy the beauty, but, you know.
Enjoy the rhyme of the beauty of the world. I like the word rhyme because that's what life is a big rhyme, isn't it?
It is. It is, Rob. Life is a big rhyme. I do have a rhyme, if you don't mind, that's called Uniquely You.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Well, it's Uniquely You. You are unique, so why not be who you are? Let your spirit free. Why not be yourself? Let your light shine. Copy no one else. You'll do just fine. You are unique, so start today to view yourself in God's way. Why not see yourself as perfect and whole, allowing love and grace to guide your soul? You are unique, so look and see who you really are, and then just be. And I love that.
We are
all unique. All we need to do is just be who we are.
That is fantastic. Now I'm going to be, Leticia, have you heard of Kindle on Amazon?
I have.
I'll call you after the show. We'll talk. Because
okay.
I think I have something for you. Anyway, but we want to give out Leticia's website. It's joyislife.com, and her phone number is 502-377-1266. And listening to Leticia, you can see that here the authentic heart wisdom she expresses is from her. Her fires have been built and branded from within her to build your life into a new way. So open yourself up to expanding your life and live the right life with Leticia's wisdom.
Thank you.
You betcha. And you're very worthy and deserving of that. Leticia, when you first start working with a client, how do you get them to see the old way? Because I have a way. I just ask them straight out for myself is, how's this pattern lived all your life, and how do you do it? I mean, I like to hear something from somebody else.
Well, that is one way to do it. What I actually do is I actually ask them to go through an entire day and make notes of things that they're doing. And we discuss a day in their session. And by discussing that day, we do the same thing. Okay, why do you do this? You know, why did you do that? And you'll see that most of the time it is patterns that we have developed, habits, good or bad, that we've developed over the year. But I start with, I want you to stay in today, and I want you to write down everything in that day that brings out any type of an emotion, whether the emotion's good or whether the emotion's bad. And then we take that day and we start breaking it down, and we start seeing the old patterns. We start seeing our own unforgiveness within ourselves, the things we don't like, the things that we haven't forgiven, and those around us. So basically, Rob, I do the same thing. I just take it, and the reason I do that is if I say, go back to your past and look, they stay there. So I say, take your day, take one day next week, whether that be Monday or Tuesday, and start jotting down what you did, why you did it, and especially anything that has any emotional attachment to it. And that's where I
take them all the way back to the childhood, and then I bring them forward to Fissure the pattern, and then we stay. Because one time fissuring, I love implanting the vision of their life, the vision they desire to live. I love pattern. And if you've been listening, that's what that's poetry you just read, Leticia. That's a vision of people's future. That's a vision of now with a nurturing of your desired life. That was a very omnipotent poem.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Very well written. And anyway, Leticia, let's we're down to 20 seconds. Give them some Letitia wisdom, and we'll close the show.
Letitia wisdom. Let's see. Remember that you are not your past. God allows U-turns, and you can do anything you wish to in the future. The future is
I want to thank you for being on the show, Letitia. I want to thank all the guests and everybody in the chat room and on the phone lines. I really want to thank you, Letitia. And Letitia's website is joyislife.com. The phone number is 502-377-1266. And I want to thank everybody. Tomorrow night I'll have Tom Ski on with Be First Marketing. And good night, everybody. Thank you, Letitia.
You're welcome. Good night.